Ever feel like there's a better way to build? So do we. I'm Matt, and welcome to the Mindful Builder podcast, where we believe in education through storytelling. Join me and my co-host Hamish as we both have a passion for building better, breaking barriers, and sharing our experience within the building industry. We're not pretending to know it all. In fact, we're learning right alongside you. Join us each week as we tackle complex topics like building science and mental well-being, inviting the brightest minds to connect curiosity with expertise. We want this to be a real conversation, encouraging vulnerability through honest discussions. So if you love this podcast and you're ready to join in, learn and build better, please do us a favor and subscribe wherever listening. It's the best way to make sure you never miss an episode, plus it really helps us out. And if you're feeling extra generous, a 5-star rating and a quick review would be amazing. Your support helps us reach new listeners and even better, allows us to book incredible guests for the future episodes. Thank you so much for being part of our community. We truly appreciate you. And now on to this week's episode.
I'm so casual right now. I'm eating a panini.
We've just realized Hamish and I haven't done a podcast of just us two for a while. So we thought after a bit of a lunch break while Hamish is eating, you can hear it ruffling away in the background. We thought we'd just have a bit of a chat that we haven't sat down for probably about 20 weeks, 30 weeks and had just a us podcast. So a lot's changed for both of us. We've both had little girls.
Actually, can I ask you, this is a good topic. How is it being a dad?
I'm loving it. So we actually just joked about we don't have a topic for this podcast. So who knows where this goes, guys. So the whole idea is trends. So the trends at the moment, I've had a daughter. So she's I think 11 weeks old yesterday.
It's trendy in our lives because I just had a daughter too.
Yeah, so it's we're surrounded by, I'd say, love right now, and I'm loving being a dad. It's fun. Like, I have a unicorn of a child, and she's sleeping minimum 8 hours straight at night. So I have been very sheltered from the life of struggling to get rest. I was really scared of going into running a business, finishing a house, doing some other little things on the side, having a child, and how do I navigate this? Like, I remember chatting with Ned from NW Build and be like, I'm not scared because I'm going to own it. I'll be fine. It was how do I balance everything? And I'm doing an awesome job. Doesn't say that in 10 weeks it might change and she will change. Like, I know you've constantly said to me, things can change with the click of a finger. And
I was surprised that things haven't changed yet. So just ride this wave.
No, I'm enjoying it. And that's like, it's like, I'm super pumped to get into our house, which should finish in about 6 weeks, that she gets to live in a certified passive house. So hopefully
targeting.
No, fuck. It's certified. It doesn't have to plaque. It's going to be certified. I'll just say that. But the thing is, like, it's a space that I know we talk about mental health and stuff a lot on this podcast, and yesterday being Are You Okay Day, I think there's a lot of information around that maybe we're missing something on the whole dad's chat, parent corner, whatever you want to call it. I'm learning. You've got 3 children now, you've got 2, and there's a lot of we've got some friends in the building industry who are having kids soon too. Mm. And for me, the hardest part, I had fed a lot of advice, try this, do this, that, and I'm like, I'll work it out later. And
I think advice, everyone's really quick, what I've experienced, everyone's really quick to give you advice when you're having kids. Mm. And I'm not saying don't give advice. I would say take as much in as you can, but you're not going to accept everything either. Like, I think everyone's good advice comes from really good intentions.
Yeah, and everyone's situation. So I have 2 bits of advice for anyone that is going to have a child. One, the baby is as relaxed as you are. If you're chill, baby's chill. The second bit of advice is don't listen to anyone else's advice. Like, that's it. Like, take in what you want. Choose what you want. Take from it what you want. I parent differently to how my brother parents, to my sister parents, my best mates parent. Like, we take bits and pieces and you learn from it.
Sorry to interrupt for a second. Do you know what's been really interesting? Because we're obviously in a different sort of phase of life, and we've just had a girl as well, a couple of weeks behind your little girl, Noah. So we've got 3 kids, and I'd made the decision quite early on in the piece that I was going to wind back my hours, and I'm going to give some advice. As a business owner, it's really difficult to shut off. Now, it was quite fortuitous, the timing when we had Juniper, that we're in school holidays, so I took a week off. Spent a lot of time with Darcy and Phoenix. In fact, my first week was more time with them than it was with Juniper. Because let's face it, at that age, you know, you're holding them and that's it. Then they want mum and they're sleeping and pooping and drinking. But I made the choice to scale back my work hours. So I was working 9 till 2:30. Now, I'd argue that I was probably getting more done in that time because it was concentrated time. Admittedly, I was in the office probably the same time because I wasn't going to site.
Yeah.
But it was honestly the best thing for my relationship with Darcy, best thing with my relationship with Phoenix, and absolutely the best thing with my relationship with Lucy because I was there.
So this is what I'm learning. I didn't get time off. And the reality is, as a business owner, I knew that I don't get time off like some of my mates who get 16, 18 weeks paternity leave. I know I get a lifetime of doing what I want when I want.
Yep.
Which is, you say that, but you also don't. So I probably went down to 30% of work. So I would work during her naps. At that time, she was sleeping probably 2.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd try to get as much done. A lot of it was with our own house, trying to get things moving and keeping continuing things. What it did do is it actually exposed a lot of issues within my business. Because it's like, I wasn't able to step away as much I had in the past. I've gone overseas multiple times. The first house I ever finished and handed over, I was in the middle of the pyramids in Egypt, climbing in. I was able to completely switch off and go away. I struggled to switch off this time. I don't know whether it's because of my house or was it business stuff. And at the time I had I had sort of moved on a little bit and I was kind of going through a bit of a restructure, and Dave was in Europe for 7 weeks, so everything came at once. It put Mark, my construction manager, under a huge amount of pressure, and Kayla in the office, which is, you know what, it is what it is, and it exposed flaws on where we can improve. But I look at that as a huge positive because,
absolutely,
like, it's like, you know what, like, because without it, it just becomes a problem. And at the moment, it's not a problem. It's just, it's things we've got to identify that I need to now just clean up from my perspective. It's a me thing, not them.
I have a question. This is kind of is ringing true because we've just had Joel from Heidi Build on here, and he's going through like a bit of a transition phase in his life because he's had shoulder surgery, hands-on kind of builder carpenter. And we asked him, you know, what does the next phase look like for him, because he's sort of been forced into a change of, I guess, his role in the business. Do you, and I'm going to ask you, I know what my answer to this is. Do you think we almost need these forced changes to think about things differently?
Yeah, I think when you go away overseas, or go on a holiday over Christmas, you think about it, you come back with all these ideas,
yep,
and you're clear-minded. I got that a bit when I had Noah, because I was away I switched off a lot, yeah?
Yep.
I got to sleep in a little bit, and you kind of do things at your own pace a little bit more, and you kind of start to realize a few little things that you're like, you just get clarity.
Mm-hmm.
I probably had clarity of what I wanted to do and where I wanted to be and what I wanted for my team.
I think the question, maybe I didn't answer it clearly. Your role had to change. You were forced to change because of this other factor. In your situation, it's Noah. Yeah. In Joel's situation, it's his shoulder.
Yeah.
Do you think that this change, like being forced to change, is a good thing?
Oh yeah, but isn't change? I love change. Change is great. Change is exciting. Maybe because we like shiny things. But
do you think that maybe sometimes as builders and as business owners that sometimes we just get so wrapped up in the status quo and we're not forced to change, we get stale?
Oh, like, yeah.
So in summary, do your shoulder or have a baby, and your business will get better.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
a sample size of three.
I think it's, you'd ask Brad from Sanford. Like, he broke his wrist. Like, he had to restructure what he wanted to do. We spoke with Jake from Notorious Tools. He back went on him, so he had to restructure what he do. There's actually a real common theme along the way with a lot of people that have had the similar experience. A lot of, hey, I went to uni, I didn't like it. Maybe a realization earlier. Like, I know that I'm going through a phase where we're both going through potentially semi-business phase changes where we're trying to look and about what we kind of had idea of this podcast, and we may get there or maybe not, but it's trends in the future. Like, I'm trying to look 5 to 6 years away in an environment in construction that is like volatile.
Yeah.
And how do I now, for the first time ever, I found that I'm not more ruthless, but I'm like, I have a daughter. And I reckon I've slightly changed.
Priorities change.
Yeah, and I've become a little bit more, you know what, it's just not Nicole and I anymore.
Yeah.
There's a third, and that third is super important. And how do I provide for her, and how do I make sure she's getting, am I giving her the best chance to succeed in whatever she wants to do?
So I think that the change is positive. The change is, and it's just not those people. Like, I also want to change the way I do business for my team. I want to make their life, like they got it pretty good, but I also want to make it easier again. Like, how do I constantly evolve for them?
How do you make it easier, but at the same time make it challenging?
But but also step away more to allow them to do. So I want to step away more from my business in the sense of, like, I kind of love the idea of going down to 4-day weeks at some point myself. I'm still probably going to do my 50 hours in 4 days. Let me even rephrase that. I love a day where Nicole can do what she wants. I grab Noah and we might be doing things. We might go to the zoo, but I also might have a meeting. So the flexibility comes with her. But I'd also love the ability for my team to take more ownership, and I'm fine handing it over. I've got to work out a good structure to make that work. But also look at the future, because I think that building's never been more expensive. Well, I know it's never been more expensive. More projects are falling over than ever before. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't got projects falling over,
not drawing hard enough.
Yeah, there's something's going wrong. You're either too cheap or there's other issues at thing. But then I also look at, like, I was finding I was spending so much time on social media that I need to get away. And I practically, one thing I do every day now, or I'm trying to, is when I get home, I just put on a 4-hour block that I can't actually access it.
Yeah, no, I've noticed that, because you don't reply. I get a barrage of responses.
5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
But I was finding, like, I'm also loving The Diplomat on Netflix. So I'm hooked on that at the moment. But I think.
Which one's that again?
It's with, I forget. It's about, it's kind of really relevant to the world at the moment, where it's like.
That's actually really awesome, but let's not get started.
Yeah, so anyway.
That's a really great series.
We maybe do an episode on TV shows. I know you as well, when you go away to your holiday house and you're chill, you just clear. Like, it's, and this is why I want.
Let's be clear, it's a family holiday house.
Yeah.
It's not my fault.
Yeah, but I want to, I would love if, as an industry in the middle of the year, or even as a society, we shut down for a week in the middle of the year to stop. Everyone in the first week of June is having it off.
Everyone in the industry.
Yeah, we just have an industry break. I think we live in a society where if you're working more and more and more, and like it's perceived in this fancy social media message of, look how much Hamish is working. Oh, you must be killing it. It's not that we spoke about Joel. It's not the social media world is not.
You know what? We do a shutdown. In fact, it's next Friday.
Yeah, we had one in July.
I just think it's such a great reset. I think what I was trying to get at before is, do you think we need to wait for, or how can we not wait for these, I guess, whether expected or unexpected milestones in our life for it to then force change?
How do you be proactive rather than reactive?
How do you be proactive to...
But probably goes on to these trends we look at.
AI.
Yeah,
AI. I don't know anything about it, but you do.
So I've used language models for 2 years now. It's funny, I see a lot of people using their social media and they'll write AI, and you can clearly see they've written it because they can't even get the Z's to S's correctly.
I know what a language model is. What is it?
So it's a language model, from my understanding. I'm probably going to butcher this hard.
Run it through ChatGPT.
Yeah, you're running something through ChatGPT or Gemini or
Claude. I'm saying run it through ChatGPT.
But it's practically helping. I look at it, AI to me is a tool to help you do what you do. It doesn't solve all the issues. And I see it with people at the moment just using AI to do their work. It's not that. It is there as a tool to help you do your work.
You've hit the nail on the head, because it is a tool, and like with every tools, you need to know how to use it properly.
So, study came out a few weeks ago. I'm going to butcher this one too. I'll sort of try summarize it. There was like I think it was a UK study. There was a group of people that they got to just use AI to do an assignment, a group that had to kind of go to a library and do the assignment and use textbooks, and one that was able to use the internet. And then at the end of the assignment, they kind of went and interviewed them about what they'd done. And the people who just used AI couldn't recall what they even wrote.
Yep.
But the people in the library knew everything about the topic when grilled. So I think the thing is, you can use it to help you and assist what you want to do. Like, I've created my own little bots that help me write like I do, that help me clean up sentences. I don't use it to write my emails. I don't use it to I use it when questions like, how would we do this? Or I use it to help write scripts for my reels. So I'll put in a topic. I've actually gone in huge detail around like it mimicking my own voice. I use it for building science I've created a bot that helps with building science questions, but it can only reference a certain websites or bits of information. Okay. I just don't let it, I kind of use it as a check. I've even found it with baby stuff, like with Noah. I've kind of been like, oh, use the Red Nose Foundation as information, what would you do in this situation?
Like, yeah, so, and this is, I guess, like the whole tool thing, right? So, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, like you need to know what prompts to ask.
You
can't just go, write me
an Instagram post on membranes.
Yeah.
You can see it when people do it, and I see it all the time because their wording, it's written out like in conclusion, like, oh, in this topic about membranes, and I understand people are trying to get content out there and stuff, but it's very
so my lazy. My VA uses ChatGPT, and I actually don't have a problem with it because, I mean, she comes from a...
you have to. If you're not using it, you're behind time.
Well, she comes from a computer science background, right? So she understands the language that you... she understands, one, how it works and what it's actually doing, but she also understands what prompts... Her ability to actually ask the right prompts. Now, I'm getting her to help me with a lot of my social media stuff.
It starts to... It kind of gets... You know when you had to back in school and you had to do the assignment, you're like, what's that first sentence?
Yep.
It helps with that.
Well, I know that, like, she's helping me do some, full disclosure, some SBA posts, right? Yeah. So she's gone and read the entire SBA website. So now she actually understands what kind of prompts to put into ChatGPT to help her with developing these social media posts.
So do you know one thing that I've done? I actually uploaded the NCC Volume 2 into made my own bot. If I have a question about the NCC, I don't need to troll through anymore. But hey, can we do this or that? I've also done something that I don't want to tell you on the podcast that what I've done, because if I could get myself not into trouble, but it kind of like exposes what I can do something very well. But I've used it for multiple tools to help me.
Bet you I know what that is.
Yeah, I know. I've told our builders group on what it is, but it's. I just don't want everyone knowing about it because it kind of. I just don't want people knowing that I've got this tool at my disposal. What it does is, again, don't use it to tell me the answer. I use it to help me find what I need. Mm. So, for example, we're looking at something on stairs the other day. I just needed to know something. I'd rather flick through the code. I had a question. It kind of spat out what I needed to know and where I needed to look. Then I went and did that. So that is the example of where I used it.
It shortcuts that information finding. Like in a situation like that, you can quickly run it through chat or Gemini or whatever. And it's giving you kind of a high-level summary. You go, right, I probably need to dive into that thing there, which you can then go and do some further research on.
Yeah, it's a tool. It's not the answer. And it will be an answer. Like people like, oh, this AI is this new shiny thing in the world. We've had AI for a series AI, and that came out 10-plus years ago.
We're using that. Everyone's using
it. We've all been using it. You go to the supermarket and it's...
Well, like as you type on your phone or as you type on your computers or emails and stuff, it's predicting your text. That's AI.
Yeah, yeah, and it's going to change the world. It's scary. I would say our industry is going to be disrupted. I think
where do you think AI, or how do you think AI, and let's sort of wrap in robotics into that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you think...
I'm going to tell you how AI is going to disrupt building more than anything, and whether it's government going to allow it. Imagine a system where an architect designs a building and they've got to go through a planning permit. They can upload that building design through the planning permit system and it can go, yeah, that complies with the res code or not, and bang, you now have a planning permit, rather than waiting months and months and months because councils are slow, they are not reliable, they can't be held accountable. And now we have a system where it goes, yeah, you're good. And the client, within a week, potentially have their permit and they're off they go.
So here's a question. I think that's a bloody fantastic approach, by the way. I think to a certain level, but a lot of this stuff is up to interpretation. So how do...
But that's the problem with, and this is, that is a problem with our planning code. It's up to interpretation. It shouldn't be.
Yeah, I understand that. So then how do we get to a point where we're confident with the AI? I don't know.
We learn from mistakes,
okay.
Like everything else we do.
So, okay.
You just learn, like we constantly learn. It's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be better than what it is now.
And quick.
And we want to build so many houses. Yes, it's going to remove jobs. It's going to create more jobs too. And I don't know enough about that back end.
So, I mean, if we think about the planning thing for a second, you could do your first cut through AI and then someone picks it up and reviews it.
Yeah, just double checks.
Yeah.
And it just removes the subjective nature of a planner that because they don't like it.
Yeah.
I think there's a huge thing there. I think... Potentially scheduling, I think helping architects build out models and 3D models, which is we'll probably get into in a second, is a huge area. For trades on site, I think that you could automate certain things for workflows and pieces of information. It's I maybe like robots in the future might be able to plaster all. I think one of the biggest things we want to see in construction is so many people losing their jobs due to AI, that one of the safest areas is going to be construction on the tools, things like nursing. They are the jobs that we kind of need to get people into are kind of going to come back. I think that's a huge benefit. It makes it more competitive and we can get people back on site. I think we're not going to have an issue in the future with trades.
I don't think so. So I reckon another trend at the moment, I know you've kind of dabbled into it a little bit, is modelling.
I don't know enough about this, but I know a little bit, like a little enough to be dangerous. I don't like other countries, like this is just what they use and we just don't use it. Like I asked...
I asked a
client yesterday potentially for a BIMX file and it was like, oh, it's so hard to do that. I'm like, just click your button. Surely it's not like the 3D model will save so much money on the project. James from Alter Eco spits it out as part of his package.
Yeah.
So like, and you know how much money we have saved clients by going, oh, we would have got that wrong and that would have been a variation.
Yeah.
You know, probably more.
Yeah, I mean the one project we've done with Alter Eco, like the way that their plans are and the model that they give us, which is kind of almost superimposed on top of the floor plan, was on this project, which is a dual lock, was a game changer. Like some of the stuff that we didn't see in the 2D drawings that we saw in the model is just a game changer. But we're current...
So on that, which is really important because we see it as builder perspective. So you see the building aspect. What I didn't realize with my own house is Nicole, and this is any client will have this issue, we can't expect a normal person to pick up a piece of plan, 30 pages, and know what the building's going to look like. We as builders that do this daily still struggle with some plans. A 3D model, they can fly through it and know everything.
Yep.
Why architects, building designers are just not spitting this out and then incorporating the engineering they get into this to make sure that their building works, mind-blowing. Changes everything for us as a builder.
Yeah. So we are currently getting trained up. So when I say we, my estimator is currently getting trained up in PlusSpec. And what we're spitting out now, and we're like 2 or 3 months into this journey, what we're spitting out now and what he's learning, he literally is building the homes on PlusSpec. And the beauty about PlusSpec is that everything is then tied back to costings.
But do you have to build it as it was input? Because there could be a side issue there. Like what if the kind of the team on site built it a little bit differently?
There's always going to be human error. When
and you'll make mistakes and learn from it, exactly, like we just spoke about.
Exactly, yeah. So, but I'm a classic failing forward kind of person, right? So I know the first 3 or 4 projects we do when we've actually modelled it, estimated it, and then checked it and then taken it to site, there's going to be stuff that we're going to improve the whole way through. Fortunately, there's another 2 or 3 builders going through this journey at the same time, and every second Monday we're catching up and just exchanging ideas.
And you can release databases probably to each other. You build this, I'll build that, and then let's just share it together.
I mean, I'll just give it away about too much because I feel like, look, I actually think that every builder should do this.
It's something that will be on my list. I got to, as I identify when I was off with the little one, like there's other things I need to do first. Once I get that, that will be on my next list of things.
I reckon we get the developer of PlusSpec on here to chat about it because I think, look, there's other great companies out there at the moment. V2E are doing same thing. They're, and I sorry to give away your secret sauce, but V2E is using PlusSpec. It's what they're modelling in. But as a builder, and let's be honest with ourselves, we're very visual people. For your team to grab that model and get different layers of that model and then be able to actually see how you've estimated it and then how you want it to be built is a game changer.
Yeah, 2D plans are outdated.
Yeah.
Like the reality is buildings are so complex and there's so much detail that everyone wants in a building now, which is fine because you want architects to push boundaries. But as there's more detail and more complexity, we need tools to help us.
Yeah, and look, someone who's the absolute OG, like... person who's actually doing this, hasn't been doing it for a while, is Daniel Perham from Perham Design and Construct up in Batemans Bay. Man, how he is rolling his buildings out is just incredible.
Because I think why, and the people say, why do builders need to do this? Shouldn't it be part of the architectural model? I think we see...
Because you challenged me on that too.
Yeah, I did. And I think it's like I want to see how it plays out for a while. I'll kind of for once be a little bit reactive and go, all right, it's definitely going to be a thing, but how I input it. Because what I... It's like... you know, sometimes when shit's not broken, don't fix it, where like a kind of, we do a lot of work with Alter Ego. I don't need to do it at the moment. I'm kind of lucky that the people that are doing it for me. So I have that, but it kind of goes back and we've had open discussions with a lot of builders about this and where the model of building works in the future. Like I think the biggest disruptor is you're going to see a way more either builder and architect, building designer team up as a pair, or you're going to see design and construct even more than ever. I think that's going to be a huge game changer because it allows pricing to be controlled. The issue is right now I've had 10 projects in the last year at some point fall over, whether it's in the pre-design stage, which is what we want them to fall over at.
I actually reckon it's just thought to just come to me now. I think that the everyone at the moment is experiencing projects not get the site, whether that be homeowners, designers, builders, all of us.
Yeah.
When I say designer,
yeah,
I'm kind of lumping, you know, designers, builders, designers all in the one kind of thing. Now more than ever, we all need to work together to try and figure out how we make this whole pre-construction phase as smooth as possible, work together to try and design something that's affordable to build.
Yeah.
And it not end up in a bloody waste bin in the corner. Like, because if we don't collaborate now and we keep going how we're doing, not the status quo, like, it's just this cycle's going to
continue. And I'll be open. I'm working with Alter Ego right now on about 4 or 5 pre-design plans, where what they are is a concept where you can't change the structure, the window location and stuff, and you have a certain amount of fittings and fixtures to pick from. You can go to a full interior change on that if you want. You'll pay more because there's a service associated with customization. The whole idea is we want to try and provide something that is a little bit more cost effective because so many people just want to build a house and they don't want everything, and we want to try streamline the process.
But still hitting your metrics.
Oh, it's high performance.
What you want to
build. Every house can go for passive house certification at minimum low energy, and I would say most of them, because what we're trying to do is that all the houses can be inverted. So if the north is on the left-hand side, but then on another job it's on the right-hand side, we just invert the property.
Yeah, okay.
So we can optimize off the design, and based on the person's location and their orientation, we just cut out certain properties they can have access to, assuming their house fits on it. So that's what we're working on at the moment to try get out there, and they're starting to come back pretty cost-effective. And I really, really hope that my goal, and I'll be really honest, in the future, is in 3-4 years, like that is all my work. They're going to be prefabricated with SIPs from Fenster and Panel. The windows will most likely be from Bink, the UPVC, and they can't change. So each job is just like print, order, print, order. Yeah. Like order, print. Sorry, I got that wrong. So I think that is a model that I see being super successful. And then we can pick and choose the 2 custom projects that we want on the side that just automatically, like we know they're going to be, one, profitable from our perspective, that they're on budget, they're going to work.
I think also like removing some of the choices from the clients, you know, and I'm saying this in the nicest way possible, is potentially a nice thing for them. I'm chatting with a couple of clients in pre-con at the moment, and some of their biggest, I'm not going to say fears, but like thoughts at the moment is how many decisions they're going to have to make. And if you can make 80% of them for them already, I guarantee they're going to be, okay, great.
Yeah, we're giving him a kitchen layout. Here's the colours you can pick from. We're going to say, and I'll just use an example, a Polytech range, just because the first thing that comes to my brain is you can pick from their colours. There you go. What cupboard does what they're saying the same? The location is all staying the same because it simplifies the process and it becomes it more of an assembly line where the joiner just, what colour is it? All right, cool, I know what I'm doing now.
Yep.
The window company, it's just the same every single time. The electrician.
You're calling up Joel and...
And that means we can come in cheaper because it's just streamlined. Everyone knows the projects. Everyone knows that they're profitable. We're actually, I'm going to say this here. I have a huge issue what some trades charge for what they're doing. We're working out what a trade should work. Well, because so many people, like for example, a trade might go, oh, we charge this a square meter. I'll be like, why do you charge it? Oh, because everyone else does. That's not the answer why you should be charging something.
Break it down.
Like how many hours? Like, I make about $2,000 a day. Why? Like, do you need that? That's ridiculous. Now we can't get houses built. So my thing is, I'm telling you, I'm going to go to my trades. I'm working with them at the moment to be like, what can you charge? And I'll tell you what you can charge. So you just know, purchase order, like the volume builders do.
What are you happy with and what are you coming? And this is, and I see where you're coming from. It's not about screwing the trades or making them be in a position where they're not making money. But if you think about it, if they've built that same house half a dozen times before, their team are going to go in, they're going to get systems together, they're going to do them quicker.
Yeah.
Sure, their markup may not be as much to cover all the unknown fuckery that you get with a custom home. So they're probably going to come in and go, right, well, maybe my profit margins are a little bit lower, but it's predictable work, so I can get through it quicker.
It's like, and I speak to my electrician about this, and so we looked at the volume builder model. There's a reason why they have a ceiling fan with the lights in the ceiling fan with one switch and one PowerPoint, because it's cost effective. Why do I need four PowerPoints and four downlights in the bedroom? That's cost. Everything adds up. Why do they all need to be two-way switched? They all add up. You know what? If you want to add custom to it and you want to go down that road, and I'll use like a volume builder way of looking at it, they sting the client.
Do you know
because
what
you don't have to – like, you know what? Everyone complains that building is expensive, but they don't want to give up anything.
Do you know what would be a really interesting study, and probably no one's got the fucking time to do it, but is go around a home, like a whole sample size of 100, and just work out how many PowerPoints in a home don't get used.
Yeah. Oh, I can tell you mine. I reckon
it'd be like 50%.
So I look at my old house, 60-year-old house I live in right now, and there's like each PowerPoint, there's like one or two max two in a room, and they all get used, but I don't need any more. I don't need the third and fourth and fifth and the one hidden at the back of the closet in case I want to plug in.
I'm going to put one there just because if I'm here vacuuming my room, I kind of want to plug in there. I'm just like,
So I think you go back to what is need. So it's needs versus wants. Yep. What do you need? What do you want? We will get you the best price we can for your need.
Yeah.
If you want more, you pay for it. Yep. I think that's a fair way. And the thing is, there's so much choice.
Have you got clients that are in this model at the moment? Or you just
we've actually done the Champion Road Passive House, the Forest Passive House is sort of a learning curve on how to do them. And we kind of worked out some efficiencies through there. So there's two. And then we've also done our Morven Street High Performance House. That is another concept of that to say, hey, yeah, this works.
Yep.
So they work.
Proof of
concept's there. We've just got to get the price down. We've got to work on some things. So, and we've worked out some efficiencies in design and structure and size. They're not big. They're going to work. I think they're going to work.
They're big enough.
They're what we should be building. I think there's just we've just got to reset our expectations in an industry that is expensive right now.
I reckon a new trend is we build smaller houses.
Yeah, but it's really annoying. So like I'll use tile, and I'm going to pick on tiles. This is an easy example. Clients get shown tiles. They walk into a tile store. How many tiles they got to pick from? Say 30 years ago, there would have been four tiles you can pick from. Yeah. But now there's all this choice and there's so much choice and they're all different. And I expect I did a pre-con recently and I gave him an allowance of $70, $80 a tile square meter. Good allowance.
Yep.
Oh, we picked something that's 120. You're going to be over budget. Oh, but we really like him. Can you afford it? We're already tight in the budget. Then don't spend it.
Yeah.
It's like this is the conversation that we want to bring it back. So, hey, we've done our job. We've got you the base price of what works. You can get a nice, healthy, comfortable, efficient home that's durable. You know what? You can add the extra robe in the kid's bedroom in a few years. How about you just go buy a portable robe for a moment that if you move house as well, you take that with you.
Yeah.
So I think we're just going to I think construction is going to get really – how we look at houses is going to get disrupted. Architects are quite quiet with work right now. So that flows on to us in a year with building. So like
it's interesting. I'm seeing a little bit of that, but then I'm also talking to some people that are
– we haven't felt it as builders yet because if they're quiet now, that means we're quiet in a year.
Yeah.
Like there's a delay. We're still working on old projects.
Yeah, interesting.
So I see that as a change. What else? Is there anything you see?
You know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see more emphasis on us spending more time outside our homes.
Yeah, I'll be open here. It's two things that I've learned probably in the last few years. I never used to value the work interior designers did. I won't do a project without them now. The second, I never understood and didn't value what landscapers do.
Landscape designers,
architects. Now I'm just like, how is this not involved in every project?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and let's face it, a outdoor room, inverted commas, is a lot cheaper to build than an indoor room. And this is where, you know, we go back, circle back to this sort of getting the team together early in the pre-construction phase. We're always saying, have you considered your landscape? From the moment that we come on site, the moment we talk to someone for the first time, have you considered your landscape?
Yeah.
Why would we do that? I said, well, because your rooms might change.
Yeah.
There might be a bit of shade in there that needs to be factored into your thermal modelling. You know, maybe we can make that room smaller because I see it's on the northern aspect. You've got a big living room here. Shorten that up and make that an outdoor living room.
But you've got to put something outside. You're not going to just walk around in sludged mud after a construction site.
Yeah, exactly.
So have the conversation early. It's you, or at least think about it. Even get a basic concept plan and have a discussion.
A concept landscape plan does not cost you much at all. And I'm talking just placeholders.
Yeah. Just like, oh we're going to have that over there. We need to get some water point over there.
Yeah. Placeholders.
I think that's a, yeah, I would really hope. It's, again, it comes back to that collaboration early on, and hopefully we start to see even more of it. But again, that's where I see, and I've said it, the design and construct, where you, it's just a one-stop shop for people. I think it's going to be a big, big changer. Who knows who's going to do it? What else do I see changing?
Your family? You have another one?
Hopefully. Who knows? If we're lucky enough.
I tell you, ask me.
Yeah. You'd be.
No, I'm done.
You'll have the Kia people.
I'm done. Come just, you know, we had to upgrade the cars, and that's. I'm done.
Yeah, I have Nicole and I have the two child policy that if you go to Disneyland, you can both be on the ride. Yeah.
Do you know what? I reckon me saying I'm done is wrong. Do you know what I feel? I feel complete now.
Yeah.
I feel like done. Two boys and a girl, and
I think it goes back to enoughness. Look, it's dangerous, scary. Our industry might be right now. I still love it. Like I actually really enjoy where it's at. It's challenging, but. I've become immune to the fact of telling clients they can't afford what they want. I think it's I whether that's a good or bad thing. I'd rather be super, super honest up front.
I actually feel like there's been a shift in an expectation of price now. Like people are expecting a higher price now. I feel it's
and there's becoming, tools we have that we can price at a concept stage.
Yeah. And look, actually, that's probably something to talk on. So we now have a multi-prong approach in our pre-con now.
I don't know your approach, and I reckon we're going to have the same.
I'm not even going to say it's our pre-con, because our pre-construction is when we're working through costings. We have, which is where we say sits in our sales kind of space in the business. We have this multi-prong quick build estimate that we do.
Yeah.
We do one internally, and we actually ship one out to a third party.
Yeah.
And then we bring those reports together, and for $1,500. We're getting two independent
industry data.
Based off industry data, reports on that's benchmarking the project. And I can speak to this now. We've had a couple of projects go through from this, and now we're costing it again. And we are presenting one today which actually has come bang smack in the middle of where that range is.
I had one too recently, and it saves the anxiety along the way. We can, because you know what? I say this to clients. We want to push you as quickly away as we can and show that you can't afford it. If we can cost it borderline a hand sketch stage from the start, rather than us guessing and potentially undervaluing quoting the building, we can give industry data that we give them a figure. We didn't choose that data. We're just saying, can you afford this, yes or no? No, we can't afford it. Well, then you got to change the building or are out.
And just like any tool, because anyone can use these tools that we're talking about, but just like any tool, you need to know how to use the tool properly, because I have seen people use these particular tools not well, and the costs are wildly different.
And then they get shit canned, and they do it because it makes it look fine and dandy to get the project along the way. We've lost projects because we've had other builders come in and say that it's going to be X amount, and I've said it's going to be higher than that. We've lost out on that project, and what I find out was exactly the number we said, because the other builder lied, they didn't tell the truth, and...
Well, do you know what? I actually don't necessarily...
Well, they weren't educated enough.
I don't reckon it's them lying or being deceitful or anything like that. I guess it's just not understanding the cost. We have a few check measures that go into the numbers that come back. Like, we are running it through previous projects where we are doing a... All right, well, how many square metres is it? Oh, it's a bit under, or that's over. Like, we can kind of sense check it a little bit. What's the finish? What's not the finish? You know, like I say to clients that we're not going to contract on this number. We're giving you a range of where we feel it's benchmarked.
Yep.
If you're not comfortable with this range, then we need to change.
And we literally just had, and these episodes have come out, we've had the Pricer Plan episode.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about pricing projects.
Yep.
The information's there. And we had Sarah who talked about mortgage broker. Another thing, if you're a client, go speak to a mortgage broker almost before you start to your builder or our design team.
How much can you spend?
Can you afford even to do it? Don't waste people's time. So anyway, we've got to wrap this up. We've got our mindful moment, which we've got to get to, which we're finishing the end of each podcast episode at the moment. So the mindful moment is brought to you by MEGT, Australia's apprenticeship experts. Have you got anything?
My mindful moment is what I was saying before about the time that I was spending, like prioritizing my family, during this phase of my life. And it's probably relatable to you too. And like I was a little bit worried about, you know, not being available at 7 and till 5. You know, I was quite concerned about that. But, you know, thankfully I've got an amazing team off-site and on-site where it actually allowed me to be there for my family. And I think the person who I feel has benefited the most from it is me, because my relationship with Lucy off the back of this was better than what it was when I had Phoenix and Darcy, because I'm much more engaged, probably not just with Juniper, but with Phoenix and Darcy, because I've picked up that load from her in the morning to get the kids ready now to go to school. And I was driving them to school and daycare. Now I'm up getting them ready, fed, lunchboxes packed.
Efficient.
And then Lucy's taking them.
Yeah.
And I've really thought about this as like a concept, and as business owners, it's really difficult for us to just flick a switch and do something different, or even switch off from business, because we're never going to. But actually just allowing yourself to take this time and then saying, this is work time and this is family time now.
Yeah. So one thing that I've done, which I'd say is my MEGT mindful moment, is I actually got rid of my old number and I got a new work phone that is my office and sits in the office. And it gets filtered before it gets to me.
Really?
Yeah. So no one can really get onto me anymore unless it's filtered through. And it's awesome because I don't get messages late at night. I don't get random calls at stupid time. I don't get telemarketers selling me shit. Also, respectful to salespeople, like they're doing their job. I hate sales calls. Yeah. So I don't get that anymore. I've not getting distracted. The second work phone has been amazing. And it sits in the office and that's how they can get onto me. And it just means I'm not getting distracted from certain things. So that's probably my mindful moment. And it's I just use my old iPhone that was lying around. It just sits on a charger because its battery sucks, but I don't need to take it out. And we just got an Aldi SIM and chucked it in, and it's like $8 a month or something.
We have actually the phone number that's on our website actually goes through our CRM now.
Yeah, yeah.
So like if people call that, it's not my personal phone, sorry.
No, but I'm not calling the dentist at 10:30 at night on his personal number because I've got a toothache. So why call the builder at 10:30 at night because you've picked your tap or you want to add some cladding? Like it's the reality is my clients don't do that. I'm super lucky. Actually, I've got the opposite where they're like, "Oh, you're watching this TV show. You should watch it." Like it's actually, but eventually you get my personal number if we get along the way.
Yeah.
I just don't need it early on.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
So yeah, thanks MEGT for coming on and sponsoring that segment. We've got some pretty cool ones coming up. But I think this is awesome. I'm gonna do a bit more just me and you.
Yep.
So, but stay safe, have fun.
Thanks, Matt.
And we'll chat soon.
See you, buddy.